Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
double
up.
Bit.
Pop pass over the middle.
Got
Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15-10. Hit in for an Oilers touchdown.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes a catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing and a miss. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
You know, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
Here on ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, Utica-Rome, heard on 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing, ESPN app. Now we're having a little technical glitch in the QSportsTalk.com realm. I believe we're going to have it back up and running. Oh, we are live. It is working. It is there. Oh, boy. Look at that, kids. Right up till airtime, we were having a little glitchy situation with QSportsTalk, but I'm being informed here by the great Josh Golden, who is back mingling with us common folk after spending time with Football Jesus over the weekend, Josh Allen, producing the program today, along with we have two Bryces. In this case, I don't know. We're going to have to, like, separate the two. Is it like Bryce G and Bryce K? I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. But Bryce and the great Jackson, who are here behind the scenes producing the program, they are telling me live on Q Sports Talk. So we're there. I mean, folks, sometimes to get this operation up and running, you should see what's happening behind the scenes. Shout out to Chief Engineer Tim Backer, who currently has smoke coming off his fingers from fixing the situation. So good to hear and good to see in this case, as we are on QSportsTalk.com, where you can watch the show, chat throughout the show, and where you get your own show kind of within the show when the radio audience goes to commercial breaks. We keep the mics on. We keep chatting with you. Keep the thing going at QSportsTalk.com. So good to know that we are there and things are happening. What's happening with you? How's your Tuesday going? Happy Flag Day, by the way, out there, ladies and gentlemen. The old red, white, and blue, stars and stripes. As we get ready to talk sports with you on a gorgeous day in central New York, always great when I look up at the in-studio thermometer and it says mostly sunny. It is mostly sunny. It's 79 degrees. You're out there doing the thing if you're in Syracuse, but if you're beyond the boundaries of central New York, always great to listen to us on the ESPN app or, of course, keep tabs on QSportsTalk.com. So get outside, get some vitamin D, get the dog outside. Come on, the dog wants to go out. Look at the dog. He wants to go out. Take him out. You can still listen to us while you're out there or watch us while you're out there. Come on. Come on. Look at him. Look at him. He wants to take him out. Come on. Get him outside. What we got lined up for you today? Well, we got lots of sporty things to discuss with you. Our friend Mike McAllister is going to join us about an hour from now, 5:05, the latest in Syracuse recruiting. There is a intriguing prospect in the class of 2023, in this case, basketball-wise, who is, speaking of gorgeous sunny days, here on campus, taking a visit on this gorgeous Central New York day. So we will remind that recruit. It's like this every day in Syracuse, New York. Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Every single day. This is what you get when you come to Syracuse. And maybe we'll talk about his basketball skills as well. It's also a big football visit weekend up ahead. So, you know, Mike's got all the latest intel on all of that. So we will talk to Mike about that coming up. We'll go on the blind side later in the program. I mean, at some point this drama is going to die down, but I just can't get enough of the juicy sound bites that are coming out of the PGA versus Live Tour feud that's happening right now. And I know some people are getting sick of it, but I think it's important to listen to what they're saying. And a lot of guys are kind of telling on themselves about how they feel about this whole thing. They have every right to take the money and go to this tour if they so wish, but the repercussions that come from that. And you've got a melding here because the Phil Mickelsons, the Dustin Johnsons of the world, the guys that fleed over to the LIV Tour, they can't play in the U.S. Open. They are currently suspended from the PGA Tour, but the majors operate on their own. And if I'm the U.S. Open, I'm like, yeah, sorry you got the little ban going on, but I'm not banning these guys from this thing. We sold a lot of tickets to this thing, and it's kind of a big deal, and they deserve to be here from a golf standpoint. But, oh, the sound bites are juicy from a number of guys. And as I noted, they're kind of telling on themselves as we go through this. So we will get to that, of course, discuss the NBA Finals last night. It's not over yet, nor would I proclaim it to be over yet, but I'm feeling as confident as ever in my Warriors in 7 pick. And I want to stress that, my Warriors in 7 pick. We will get to that coming up, but it's actually where I do want to start the show today, not specifically these NBA Finals, though. It is these NBA Finals that made me think of this. And it is, I'm sure I've asked this question before, and the fact that I'm asking it again speaks to maybe there is no answer. And it's a simple question, so I'll ask it in simple form while, of course, playing the great music from John Tesh in the background, right? Kind of harkens back to a certain era of basketball, which, by the way, Fox Sports, how dare you for using this on college basketball coverage? No, don't do it. I don't care if it was available. I don't care that you bought the rights. You just don't. There's certain things you just don't do. And associating this with college basketball on Fox, stop. Just come on. How dare you, people. Okay. More important. Who is Syracuse's favorite NBA team? It's a simple question that I don't think has a simple answer. Now, right off the bat, I think the name that probably popped in your head, and I think what would ultimately win in this non-scientific discussion that I'm having with you, would be the New York Knickerbockers. I think by default, by just geography, the Knicks, being a New York team, this is a town that roots for its New York teams, be it the Giants, the Jets, the Yankees, the Mets, etc. I think the Knicks would ultimately win. I think there's certainly enough history there, but what there is not enough of is recent success. Now, when Carmelo Anthony ended up with the New York Knicks for a bit of time, I think that resurged interest in the Knicks. I think it certainly had a lot more Syracuse fans that maybe would occasionally watch the Knicks go out of their way to watch Melo with that team. I think that's probably the peak of New York Knicks fandom in the last, really since they went to the NBA Finals last in 1999 with the Patrick Ewing days and when the Knicks were at their peak and, you know, that kind of run there in the 90s. Certain generations go all the way back to Walt Frazier in the 1970s. It's, you know, it kind of goes in waves, right? But the Knicks have had just, you know, they had that playoff run recently. And think how much buzz there was just for that. But that was kind of residual from New York. And you know, we talked to JJ about that stuff all the time in New York sports. So long story short, Melo really kind of put some adrenaline into it, but I don't necessarily think created a new generation of New York Knicks fans around here. So we're answering the question with the answer we think it is right off the bat here. I think the Knicks would win, but I don't think this would be a huge margin. Now, further evidence that don't always believe polls, okay? Be skeptical of polls. Polls can be manipulated. Polls are something I talked about this on the show the other day. It just drives me crazy when people in my line of work, and no matter what line of work you want to point to, just rely on these polls. And it's like, well, hold on a second here. What was the sample size of this poll? Who took this poll? How scientific is the poll? How many people were in this thing? It's, well, 85% of Americans believe this. There's 300 million plus Americans. Like, can you really accurately depict that? Some can to a certain point, but there's always inaccuracies in polls. But if a Twitter poll that I created an hour ago cannot be trusted in this world, then I don't know what can, folks. But so far in that poll, I asked the simple question, who is Syracuse's favorite NBA team? And I gave four choices. One was the New York Knicks. They currently have 72% of the vote. So ultimately, like I said, I think they would win. The Boston Celtics have 17.5% of the vote. The Sixers have 8% of the vote. And the Nets, 2.9%. But there's also the fill-in category, and that's what I'm curious about here. So I think the running favorite would be the Knicks, but there's a reason I brought up the Celtics. Proximity-wise, the Celtics are not far away. Obviously, there is a history that spans generations there. I mean, you want to go all the way back to Red Auerbach, who, little nugget on a story I'm working on now, once sat in a gym about two blocks away from where I sit here in downtown Syracuse and witnessed basketball history being made in Syracuse, New York. Oh, that's a tease. That's a tease right there. Stay tuned for that story. Kind of hinted at it last week if you were listening to the show. So from Auerbach, Bill Russell, through Larry Bird, even to the days of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and now the Celtics are there again. I mean, the Celtics just keep renewing generations of Celtics fans, right? There's a lot of Knicks fans around here, maybe because their dad or their uncle or their aunt or their grandma were Knicks fans, telling you, oh, stories of Walt Frazier and Patrick Ewing. But as I like to constantly remind on this show, a younger generation needs its own stories to tell. The Knicks have not provided a lot of those, other than frustration, missed draft picks, and general mismanagement from James Dolan, right? The Celtics keep renewing here. Social media is not everything, but I see a lot of people with Syracuse ties that are Celtics fans, openly rooting for the Celtics, and have talked about their Celtics in other ways. These things peak during championship runs, so you got to be careful about this stuff. And a lot of people that maybe aren't necessarily fans of the team will comment, but I think the Celtics are a solid second place. God bless Derek Coleman being the number one overall pick by the New Jersey Nets at the time in 1990. That did not create a wave of Net fans around here. And I see this is what brings us to the Syracuse basketball equivalent. Well, this city and this community has a very rich pro basketball history. Okay. The shot clock and the roots it has here, the Syracuse Nationals, the mural that's going up in downtown Syracuse, much more to come on that next week when it actually is officially unveiled. And that's going to be a great event. And I'll tell you more about that when we get closer to it next week. But I'm happy to have a very small role in that, by the way. Just small rule. I just, you know, let a horse to water and let it drink in that case. But more to come on that. So as much as we have that history and the story I'm currently writing, which I think a lot of you will enjoy and maybe will be informed by too, this is a college town. You know, the emergence of Syracuse basketball, particularly under Jim Boeheim and where we are now and what the 80s brought us with Pearl Washington and company up till now, converted a lot of people. And I would put myself in this category. You know, as we have this discussion, if you ask me this question, my answer would be none of the above. I don't have a favorite NBA team. I grew up in Syracuse, New York. I was much more interested in college basketball. And look, I went through the Lakers and Celtics of the 80s. Every kid my age at the time loved Michael Jordan, the Bulls. But I was much more interested in players than I was teams. I never really latched onto a team for a number of reasons here. But the Syracuse basketball factor here is twofold. One, it obviously has entrenched itself and made this a college sports town. So it has become a college basketball town. Doesn't certainly brush aside the rich history of pro basketball here, but as I said a moment ago, you have to renew these things, right? And the more generations that go by that can't relate to watching the Syracuse Nationals in this town or having some sort of direct connection to pro basketball, the more it will just be that, a memory and a story to tell, which is important to do, by the way, but that's what it becomes. The other thing with Syracuse basketball is, look, there's been a lot of draft picks. There's been players that have had success in the NBA, but I just said it. Coleman's pick by the New Jersey Nets did not create a fleet of Knicks fans around here. Yes, when Melo initially went to the Denver Nuggets, you saw a few more Denver Nuggets jerseys here in Central New York than you normally would, but again, no one was a fan of the team. They were fans of Melo. Other players that have come along have gone to a smattering of places in the NBA. And you'll see an occasional jersey around here with those teams, but I can't think of a draft pick that created a legion of fans around here for a particular team. really since Melo, and even that was limited, and he ended up changing teams a few times, so that kind of washes it out anyway. And see, that's the other factor in this equation, folks. And I'm not just pointing my finger saying, you darn kids, it's just the way it is. I just said it. I grew up more of a fan of players than I did teams in the league. And this was the 1980s and early 1990s. There's not as much of an association these days with teams the way that younger fans watch the NBA. They watch players. They like LeBron James. They like the Cleveland Cavaliers when he's there. They like the LA Lakers when he's there. They like the Miami Heat when he's there. Kevin Durant has been on three different teams. They like where he goes. Players create fans in that league more than any other league, not fans of teams. It's different when you are a Buffalo Bills fan. Players come and go, but the brand, the team that you root for, the New York Giants, right? Like, go through the other sports real quick. Who is Syracuse's favorite NFL team? I think it's a dead heat between the Bills and the Giants. The Bills have a decided advantage right now because they're good, but, you know, flip the script when the Giants are good, right? I think Steeler fans are well represented here, and there's a few other teams that enter that conversation, but I think ultimately by a hair, it's a Bills town. Major League Baseball, it is unequivocally the Yankees, and it's not a discussion, right? You went to the National Hockey League, I think the Rangers would win, but there's certainly a lot of Buffalo Sabres fans around here. I think the answers are clearer there. When it comes to the NBA, I don't think it's as clear because of a few different things. The way the league is structured, a younger generation of Knicks fans that can't relate and don't have their own stories to tell, of success, of championship runs, of watching a team that evokes warm memories, right? You're a Knicks fan, and think about this. Even the Knicks at their peak with Patrick Ewing, how hard was that? If you live in Syracuse, New York, to root for Patrick Ewing, a Georgetown guy, on the New York Knicks, that always had to be on your mind, no matter how diehard of a Knicks fan you were, like, where you live, what you relate to, what you emotionally connect to, that had to be hard. That's partially why I never really embraced the Knicks. I can't root for Patrick Ewing. Like, in my formative years, watching Patrick Ewing at Georgetown, number one draft pick in 85, that's that time in my life where I'm kind of figuring out, okay, who are my favorite teams and who am I rooting for? And, you know, sports isn't just something that, you know, my dad would take me to the Dome and I'd be like, hey, cool, get some popcorn and, you know, go somewhere fun, and, oh, look, there's Otto. It's like, no, you start getting into sports. Even then, I'm like, I can't root for Patrick Ewing. What, are you kidding me? So I think that is part of the conversation here. So I want to say the answer is no one. I want to say the answer is varied. I want to say the answer is, to steal an old quote from a football coach from back in the day around here, multiple. I don't think it's certainly the 70% of people that have voted in my Twitter poll saying the New York Knicks. I think that's their initial thought. I think that's, I got to pick an answer on a poll. I'm going to select that. But it doesn't take much thought. It doesn't take much peeling of the onion to reveal, like, this is a town that has what I would call a layered, complex association with the National Basketball Association. It's not a runaway. If the Knicks win, it's close. And it's complicated. And there's a number of factors that make me say there is no favorite NBA team around here. The answer is a little more complicated than that. In the moment, it feels like the Celtics because they're in the finals. But a month from now, that feeling could be different. Now, we'll discuss this a little bit more on the other side, get into the finals that actually happened last night, getting the hot takes coming up, talk to Mike McAllister about not only a recruit visiting today, a recruit that was once committed to Syracuse but now has landed on his third team, and will that team even end up playing Syracuse in the upcoming season? We got time for him to change his mind again. All that to come and so much more. Your thoughts on all this at 437-7644, Brent Dax Media, and at QSportsTalk.com. Use the live chat and throw some thoughts at me. So is it the Knicks? Is it the Celtics? Is it the Nets? Is it the Sixers? Those are the closest regional teams that make sense it's not the Toronto Raptors. It's not the Cleveland Cavaliers or anything like that, as close as they are regionally to Central New York. Or is it fill in the blank? I think you can make a case the Lakers have a strong showing around here because the Lakers are one of the big fair weather teams in all sports. A lot of kids around here grew up watching Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the Showtime Lakers. That was renewed by Kobe Bryant and that generation of Laker teams. So we'll get into that as we continue here on a Tuesday. Oh, boy. Markets have been rough the past couple days. Let's see if things were on the upswing today. If Lee Baldwin is himself on the line to tell us about that, perhaps good news is on the way.
Trying to keep things positive. When,
that's what I like to hear.
When Big Pat was drafted in 85, the Dow Jones was 1,500, so it's still over 30,000.
There you go.
So
we'll context.
Keep things in there. Context.
Exactly.
So,
I like that.
So with that, we were down. Actually, NASDAQ closed up, so we're going to take that as a moral nice win today that we didn't go down. And we did have a nice diamond. FedEx delivered a big gain of 14%, which is bucking all the trends. And our dog goes to HelloFresh, the prepared home cook company or food company, down 7%. So there you have it.
Glad you picked FedEx.
Keep things in perspective. You know, we've had a pretty good 5 years. So
you couldn't pick Amazon today because one of their trucks hit the bridge up in the Onondaga Lake Parkway Bridge. So you know they couldn't get the diamond today.
They're
doing okay.
Right there.
Bezos is like, what do you need a new truck? Yeah, it's in my couch cushions. You know, just go grab whatever you need. And we'll be fine.
Take one, take two. Yeah,
we'll be all right. Buy yourself a few. All right. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it, sir.
You got it. Thanks, Brent.
We need the consultation of Lee Baldwin and company more than ever. We've entered a bear market, and you kind of have to know how to navigate the choppy waters. The market's up, the market's down. That's why our friends at Lee Baldwin and company are there for you to find all the diamonds and none of the dogs, even in a bear market. LeeBaldwin.com is the website, or stop in Kaz or Utica and make sure you find all those diamonds and none of those dogs. As the great Vaughn Miller said today from Buffalo Bills training camp, I'm just shining a diamond. Break. We'll come back. You're on the block. ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back, friends. You're on the block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. Been roaming around and have been hurt in a car. I hope that's not the case, but if it is, we need to call our friends at William Mattar. 444-4444. The great Scooter in Janesville called a different number. He called our number at 437-7644. He's on the block now. Scoot, how you doing, bud?
Good. It was a crazy week on your talk about insurance. I was actually attacked by, I think, a suicidal wood chuck when I was driving.
Look out!
Yeah. It, in fact, it was over in off Burdick Street there, and I slammed on the brakes to save his life, and he crosses the road. And so I go, and all of a sudden he turns right around and slams into my door. It's like, good. I allow him to cross the road like the chicken. And he decides to cross it again and smacks into my car.
All right. Can I tell you a random animal encounter, too, the other day? So why do people do this? So the other day I was coming out, and there's the big Walmart there on Route 290 in East Syracuse, and there's a huge line of cars that are trying to enter the Walmart, which it's a busy Walmart, right? But I happen to notice, see, there's a lot of geese in that area, and not only was there a big line of cars because the geese were in the road, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. A lady was feeding them bread. Like, hey, lady, you see the 20 cars here that can't move right now? She's out there just like, having a ball, just feeding them. It's like, hello? Busy road. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just had to say that after hearing the story. Yeah, it's like
Yeah, I had to laugh when you talk about the Jets, because even when the Bills aren't on TV or they're not on the NBC, because, you know, they're like the road team running around Fox or something, the Jets still aren't on TV in this
they're
area. They also show New England before they'll show the Jets. I'm like,
the Jets are just, it has been, other than like four or five blips since Joe Namath, they're just always bad, and the Steelers have more fans here. I think the Patriots have maybe lapped them, and it's a unique NFL town, of course, with the Bills and Giants taking the cake in that case. Anyway, any recent successes in the sports gambling world to share?
Well, last night at Point Place, I was maybe more luck than strategy, but I started out with Clay Thompson over 19, and he only had 5 in the first half, and then he had 18 in the fourth quarter for the longest time. He decided not to hit layups. He decided to keep throwing to the corner. These guys are shooting threes, and I finally got a 3 out of him. So he went with 21. And you know me about being patient in the game. That's why I go over there to the bet in game. So if you're patient as a virgin, you actually got the over-under at 197.
Okay. There you go.
197, and then I had to, it looked like I only needed 48 points to go to the fourth quarter, and of course Boston comes out and scores only 5 in the first 6 minutes. So I need a backup, guy, got no idea who it was from the corner to hit that 3 at the end of the game to get the 198. But, sometimes you luck out because there's games where you think it's easy and it doesn't work out that way.
Jordan Poole.
Off the mark, rebound Wiggins. Got 3 seconds to get a shot off. Wiggins to Poole. Poole gets it off in time. Oh, he banks it in! Banks it in!
There you go, just for you. Cash it in, baby.
Need everyone. You know, it's interesting to talk about basketball. First of all, I think there's a lot of Dolphin fans in this area because when I was walking around the Pace Circus, I had a Dolphin shirt on. There, about 6 people come up. I start watching with the great Larry Zonka.
Exactly.
When you graduated.
It's funny. I was just telling the youngins this during one of our breaks. A lot of people equate it to Dan Marino, and that's understandable. It's actually Larry Zonka who created a legion of loyal Dolphins fans around here. As a Bills fan, that's unfortunate, and it's never too late to change and come on over to the winning side. Scoot, thanks for the call as always, buddy. Appreciate it. That's the great Scooter in Jamesville, of course. Let's do a couple hot takes, shall we?
We've got a hot one for you.
Oh, you're hot.
Why, thank you. So are you. And I'm not afraid to cry. So hot.
So hot it hurts. Yes,
man, it's hot. How hot is it? It's so hot, I poured McDonald's coffee in my lap to cool off.
It's time for hot takes on the block.
The Celtics had a chance last night to take it home, up 3-2. And when I say they had a chance, you know how rare it is that Steph Curry does not hit a 3-point shot? I mean, this is just a credit to how we take this for granted. But if you get a night after he gets an epic 43-point, 10-rebound performance and it feels like he can't miss, he had an all-time streak of 233 consecutive games with a made three-pointer come to an end last night. He's 0-for-9 from three-point range. He only scores 14 points. 16 points, 16 points, 8 assists. The streak comes to an end, and the Celtics can't cash it in. I mean, you have got to win that game when their star at home couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, because you know he's going to drop 40 tomorrow and close this thing out. I said Warriors in 7. I'm feeling great about that. Can the Celtics bounce back? The path is not hard. Jason Tatum has to finish at the rim. You cannot create and expect to get by with 18 turnovers. I know some of the officiating last night was a little questionable, but I don't think you can lean on that too hard. And kids, what does Uncle Brent like to remind you? What do I say all the time? What's the hashtag? What's the t-shirt that I should create? What is something that will probably at this point be on my tombstone? Free throws matter. NBA teams need to make free throws as if it was a second thought. And for the Celtics to miss that many free throws combined with the other things that I mentioned, but see, they could win game 6.
That's hot.
If Tatum can just finish around the rim, just make some 2-point shots, just do what he's supposed to do, they're in it. They're hanging in there. They only lose by 10, despite everything I said. He finishes at the rim just as the simple thing, because he was hitting from the outside. He finishes at the rim. They win game 6. We get a game 7. And I hope we do, because that will create a blockbuster Father's Day sporting event. U.S. Open, little NBA Finals. Let's go. Daddy's Day. No matter how good the weather is, to just sit on our butts in our chairs and watch sports. Let's go.
That's hot.
I know this is like a high school cafeteria, but I just can't get enough of the PGA Tour guys snipping with the LIV Tour guys and just being annoyed that they're being asked about it at all, like Brooks Koepka, who wants to blame the media for this.
I don't understand. I'm trying to focus on the U.S. Open, man. Like, I legitimately don't get it. I'm tired of the conversations. I'm tired of all this stuff. Y'all, like I said, y'all are throwing a black cloud on the U.S. Open. I think that sucks. I actually do feel bad for him for once.
Right.
Because it's a situation. Like, we're here to play, and you're talking about some event that happened last week.
Well, there's events going to be going on now for the next foreseeable future.
I know, but you can't drive a car looking in the rearview mirror, can you?
Well, at least you admit you don't get it, Brooks. It's a huge story. Some of those golfers that are there participated in that event last week. There's a huge rift going on. Like, do we really need to explain this to you? You don't have to answer the questions. You can decline to discuss it. But to tell the media that we're putting a black cloud on this event, how about the LIV Tour that created this thing a week before the U.S. Open started? I didn't really hear a lot of ill will for them. Oh, is that because your brother plays in the LIV Tour? I see. But the old blame the media thing, not going to work this time. Elsewhere in the cafeteria, John Rahm, I think, had one of the better points about this whole thing.
I do see the appeal that other people see towards the LIV golf. I do see some of the, I put this delicately, points or arguments they can make towards why they prefer it. To be honest, part of the format is not really appealing to me. Shotgun 3 days to me is not a golf tournament, no cut. It's that simple. I want to play against the best in the world in a format that's been going on for hundreds of years, right? So that's what I want to see. And yeah, money is great, but when Kelly and I, this first thing happened, we started talking about it. We're like, will our lifestyle change if I got $400 million? No. It will not change one bit. Truth be told, I could retire right now with what I've made, and I've lived a very happy life and not play golf again. So I've never really played the game of golf for monetary reasons. I play for the love of the game, and I want to play against the best in the world. I've always been interested in history and legacy, and right now the PGA Tour has that. There's some meaning when you win the Memorial Championship. There's some meaning when you win Arnold Palmer's event at Bay Hill. There's some meaning when you win L.A., Torrey, some of these historic venues. And that, to me, matters a lot.
I think John Rahm is spot on there, and ultimately why I think the PGA Tour is going to win this, because we're golf fans. We want to see good golf. If you are loyal to players and watch those players, that's fine. But the juice of a player winning an event like the U.S. Open, even some of those tournaments you mentioned, that's why we watch these things. A three-round shotgun start where there's no cut and you know even the loser's walking away with big money. Tell me the appeal of that as a fan of competition. There isn't one. So the LIV Tour will exist. It's got the money. It's a great retirement plan for these guys. But I think ultimately the competition of the PGA Tour will win out. And because Rory McIlroy has been just firing shots left and right in this whole discussion, of course, we've got to play a clip from him.
They all have the choice to play where they want to play. And, you know, they've made their decision. And my dad said to me a long time ago, once you make your bed, you lie in it. And they've made their bed. So, you know, that's their decision, and they have to live with it.
Rory, stop casting a black cloud on the U.S. Open this week. How dare you? You bring up something that's relevant in the world right now. Jeez, what's wrong with you? Right, Brooksy? What's wrong with that guy? Jeez.
I mean, it's a situation. Like, we're here to play, and you're talking about some event that happened last week.
How dare you? Hey, Met fans. Pretty important anniversary for you. Do you know what it is? We'll have some fun with that next. Stay right there.